Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Taksurun Mlitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sita Tanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vansha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu bhayevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasade Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So. Okay, we'll chant together. Cheto darpana marjanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam shraya kairaiva chandrikaranam vidyavaru jivanam anandam burivardhanam pratipadam punam ritasvadhanam sarvatmasnapanam param vijayate sri krishna sankirtanam Namna makari bahuda nija sarva shaktis tatarpita nimitas maranena kala etadrasi tavakripa bhagavam mamapi durdaivam idrisham ihaji tinara pisa nichena torora pisa hishnana amanena madanena Kirtaniya Sadahari Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavitam Va Jagadisha Kamaye Mama Janmani Janmanishvari Bhavatad Bhakti Rahoita Kitvai Ayi Nanda Tanu Chikinkaram Patitamam Vishame Bhavam Budhau Kripaya Tavapada Pankaja Stutaduli sadrishim vachintaya Nayanam galarasa daraya Vadanam gagadaya radaya gira Pulaka nichitam vapukada Tavanama grahane Yugayitam nameshena Chakshusha pravashayitam Sunyayitam jagatsarvam Govindaya Vare Name Ashlisha Va Pararatam Panastumam Adarshanam Mamaha Karotuva Yatatata Va Badadhatu Lampato Mat Prana Nata Suna Evana Para. Okay, someone read the verse and one person after another. Good. Anybody, first verse?
Glory to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditional life, of repeated birth and death. This Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large, because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss, and it enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious.
O my Lord, your holy name alone can render all benediction to living beings. And thus you have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna and Govinda. In these transcendental names, you have invested all your transcendental energies. There are not even hard and fast rules for chanting these names. O my Lord, out of kindness, you enable us to easily approach you by your holy names. But I am so unfortunate that I have no attraction for them.
One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind. thinking oneself lower than a straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly.
O Almighty Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor do I desire beautiful women, nor do I want any number of followers. I only want your prizes, devotional service, birth after birth.
Son of Maharaja Nanda, Krishna, I'm your eternal servitor, yet somehow or other I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from the ocean of death and please place me as one of the atoms on your lotus feet.
Oh my Lord, when will my eyes be decorated with tears of love flowing constantly when I chant your holy name? When will my voice choke up? And when will the hairs of my body stand on end at the recitation of your name?
O Govinda, feeling your separation, I am considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain, and I am feeling all vacant in the world in your absence.
I know no one but Krishna is my Lord, and he shall remain so even if he handles me roughly by his embrace, or makes me brokenhearted by not being present before me. He is completely free to do anything and everything, but he is always my worshipful Lord, unconditionally.
Okay, good. Gail, what question did I ask the last time I was here? Okay, did I ask the question I got to find which of my notes about which book would Prabhupada, which book would we bring? No, I did ask that question. Okay, I got to come up with another one. But first, I have to find my notes. Okay, I got them. I was so eager. One second. I had some other questions. And I asked the question, God has a problem, and it's the same problem that we had. What is it? Oh, yeah, you worries. You know.
No, you're mixing up the seminars, Gail.
What?
The first one definitely, though. The first one definitely.
The first one I asked.
Yeah.
Hey, don't mess with Gail. Don't mess with Gail, Rati. You can't mess with Gail. But you're right. You're right. But okay, we'll do that one. If you haven't heard that one, God has a problem. It's the same problem we have. What is it? He's not a devotee, right? He's not a devotee, right? And it's such a problem that to become God, he has to become a devotee. Otherwise, he's not complete. So that's the story of Chaitanya. It's the story of God becoming a devotee. I'm just giving a little introduction to the Shishastakam. And how does God choose to become a devotee? How did he become a devotee? Well, there was two things. One, he surrendered to Guru, and then he adopted the process. He had Nam Guru, gives the name, you begin chanting the holy name. That was the process. It was the process of of becoming a devotee, and it was the process of making others devotees, because those were the two problems that God had. It's mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that God is meditating, it's time for him to come, and he wants to give the highest love for himself, and he wants to experience the highest love for himself in the context of the material world. maybe, you know, light maybe shines brighter in the dark, you know, has more significance in the dark, something. So he comes for these two reasons. After he completes his descent as Krishna, he feels that these missions are incomplete, because to taste the highest love, you have to be the, not just the object of that love, God is the object of the love, God is the beloved, you have to become the subject of the love. You have to become the lover or the devotee of God. So he's witnessing this, he's meditating on this, that I want to have the love that Radha experiences from me. I want to experience that, because that's the highest pleasure. God's pleasure is his own potency, called Ladini Shakti, the essence of the bliss potency. And for him to experience that, he puts it in the heart of the devotee. So God's pleasure is the love of his devotee, but the devotee enjoys more. Just like tomorrow is Mother's Day, right? So there's a love called motherly love, and it's celebrated because the child has experienced the motherly love, and the mother has experienced the motherly love. It's the same energy from different perspectives, but the mother enjoys it more. So God enjoys the love of his devotee, but the devotee enjoys the love more. So for God to become complete, he has to become his own devotee. And because he's God, he not only wants to experience the love of his devotee, he wants to experience the love of his devotee at the height of her love. So that's the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he shows how to do it, which is chanting the holy name, Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Hari Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalo Naste. There's no other way. You chant the holy name. And then, at the end of his life, and this is told in the story of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, tells the story of Chaitanya. The last chapter is called the Shikshastakam prayers, because what it describes is at the very end of his life, he's in this high love, and there's so many emotions churning from his heart. There's so many emotions churning from his heart out of this love. It's just exploding in his heart. And when that's happening, he starts to meditate on, how did I get this? How was I so fortunate to have this experience? And how did I succeed in giving it to others? And then he quotes a verse from the 11th canto, which is where Karbhajana Muni is explaining the different avatars for the different yugas. And when he gets to the Kali Yuga, he explains Krishna Varnam Twisha Krishnam Sango Pangasta Parshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Pratyajanti Hisamedasaha. Krishna Varnam, that this incarnation is the Varna or category of Krishna. Chatur Varnyam means there's categories. So he's the category of Krishna. Chatur Varnyam, he's the category of Krishna. Twisha Krishnam, but he is not the color Krishna. Krishna is also a color. So he's not dark. He's Twisha Krishnam. He's the category of Krishna, but not the color of Krishna. And Krishna Varna means, Varnayati means he's also chanting Krishna. And his astras or weapons are Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam, Sango Pangasta Parshadam. His devotees, they're his devotees, his associates. And Yagyai Sang, and he chants kirtan. And those who are intelligent, they do this kirtan. And then as he's chanting this, And this sentiment is welling in his heart of experiencing Lakshmi Prabhu, Haribo. You gotta sit there. You get 10% off, and there's a special section for you.
Wow. Reserve section.
What?
Reserve.
So we're telling how the Shashastakam was born. So now it comes from his heart, and he chants eight verses, and they're the only eight verses that ever were ascribed personally to the authorship of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they weren't even considered an astakam. Astakam is in one poem, eight verses. Because Rupa goes, actually Krishnadas Kaviraj lists them as eight consecutive verses, but recorded by Rupa Goswami in his anthology of Vaishnava poems called the Padyavali, they're just all over the place. So Krishnadas Kaviraj somehow understands and has the realization that these are systematic. And then great acharyas in our line, specifically Bhaktivinoda Thakur, explains how systematic they are. He explains that these verses cover all the levels of advancement in spiritual life that are a result of chanting the holy name at different levels of faith. Adau Shraddha, so the first verse represents faith. Why? Because it describes that it's the highest thing. And that's what faith is. Faith is your trust in something sublime. Your faith is what you think is the highest thing. So he says, Param Vijayate, Sri Krishna, this is the highest thing. Chanting the holy name is the highest thing. And this is why. And then the second verse they describe, and the third verse, they cover these different stages, which are faith, something is good, I appreciate it. Tatasa, it's so good that I take association of those people who are doing it. It's so good that I adopt the practices to achieve it. It's so good that I give up those things that are not wanted or that have no value to it, anartha nivritti. It's so good that I become fixed in it. It's so good that now I have a natural taste. It's so good that I become addicted to it. It's so good that my heart just melts with it. And it's so good that I'm so absorbed in it that there's nothing else in my consciousness. So he describes. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur does another thing that's very interesting, and I tried to figure out why. He said, the holy name also has eight sections. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it has eight sections. And he says that each of these eight couplets of the holy name refer to a verse of the Shikshastakam and Krishna's day, Astaka Lila Smaran, has eight different sections, and it refers to a different section of the day and Krishna's, Radha Krishna's pastimes, as revealed in a book called Govinda Lilamrita. Now, I tried to figure out, now, really, is that a little bit stretching it? I mean, I'm some Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, what that has to do. And I kind of thought, this is what I thought about that. Now, you have to listen, it's a little subtle, but this is what I thought about that, is that as we advance, we should be chanting all the time. And when we're very advanced, by practice in bhajan, any meditational practice knows this. When you perfect a mantra, it becomes embedded in your consciousness, so it goes on automatically without your will. And I have two examples of this. One, When I heard that Prabhupada's godbrother, Krishnadas Babaji, was in the hospital in Vrindavan, the CFC hospital, I went to the hospital to go visit him. They told me that he had just left to go to Nandagram, where he passed away. And the doctor told me when he put the stethoscope to his chest, the doctor told me this personally, he was hearing, he was unconscious, but he was hearing the holy name. And Dr. Fakir Mohan, and was he there the year that, he was there the year we came, right?
Yeah.
Amazing for such an old man, the power of his voice. Oh. It was amazing. And were you there when he was doing Gopinath, at the Tota Gopinath Mandir? He's one of the most learned scholars in Vaishnavism. He passed away. Gopinath! And it was like, wow. That song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur was like amazing. So he told me at that time he had 6 heart attacks. And each time that he was unconscious, the doctors told him he was still chanting. But when I had a little study of classical meditation, which always is based on mantra, they said this, that this is what happens. So what I figure is, when someone gets advanced in Krishna consciousness, what happens? Then the name is non-different from Krishna, and the name manifests the form. And we can see that right now. If I say Prabhupada, you heard the name, you probably see his form. Then the qualities, and then the pastimes. So at a very advanced level, Prabhupada said the pastime, he writes this, the pastimes naturally come with the name. So I think what happens is, while people are chanting, and this is a book called Bhajan Rahasya by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes all these verses on each of the verses of the Shishastakam have the same meaning. But I found this myself, that when you make your mind to concentrate on one part of the mantra, it fixes your mind in concentration. I do that if sometime, like this morning, you know, I drove yesterday so many places. I was upstate New York in the morning. Then I went to Champak and Govinda Prem, the mother of Champak, in Queens, in Long Island City, and to get there on the Bruckner Expressway, and I was like insane. So anyway, I got there, and of course she's an excellent, excellent cook. And then I went to Michael Chiregno Kundapreshta. His father has he's an optician. So I went to get new glasses. And his parents weren't that favorable, but somehow when I got there, I think his father gave me the glasses for free. You know, so you see that somehow things develop in people just by their children becoming fixed, that they change. Because I said, you know, how much is it? You know, and to me, it's painful to pay this much for glasses, because in Vrindavan, when the monkeys stole my glasses and I went to the optician, I got the eye examination, I got new glasses for $10. And they looked exactly the same as the ones you have here. What? Where in India, though?
Delhi.
Delhi. A little more expensive.
Yeah, but I mean, I paid like $79.
Yeah.
For the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then I just had the lenses replaced here.
Yeah.
It was like $400. Yeah. Just the lenses.
It's another class how the present society... When I was young, when I would get sick or I would fake it to stay home from school, our family doctor would drive and come to our house and give him $10. I was in the hospital when I was young. I had an operation for a benign tumor. I was also had some foot adjustment. I was in the hospital. They didn't have health insurance. You pay the hospital. You know, it was within people's budgets. But they have these systems now where A hypochondriac can go to the doctor as many times as they want, and then everybody else has to pay for it because, you know, it goes to the government. So, you know, it's a great deal. The doctors charge as much as they want because they, what do they care? And, you know, the government also has anyway, besides that fact, where the hell am I now? How did I get to the us from the Ustica Lila Smarin to what? What? What about the glasses? What about the glasses? Okay, I got. Oh, right, I got it. You got it now. These stories, they take time. So then I went there, and then we went to the glasses, and then I drove to my mother's place. So when I woke up in the morning, and I woke up later than I usually do, and when you want to chant, you want to have the same time and the same. And I just wasn't as concentrated. So when that happens, I chant out loud the first half of the mantra, maybe the second half softly. So my mind is always fixed on concentration. And then sometimes the first half softly. So I think what they do is they would chant a couplet which would fix their mind. And at the same time, according to the time of the day, they would chant, they would concentrate on one of the couplets, which would relate to the pastime at a particular time of the day. I'm thinking that that's what happens. I've never heard it, but I was trying to figure it out. So I didn't bring the the Chaitanya Charitamrita, but what happens is Lord Chaitanya, after he chants the first verse, which describes the glories of the holy name, and just a little, what happens is he develops a deep humility, because that's the nature of bhakti. The nature of bhakti is that it's like a hunger, it's a desire. And whenever you have a desire, the more it increases, the more you feel a lack. That's how people become addicted. You know, your desire for something increases and you want more of it. You feel like you have such a lack. It's like it's like a hunger. Hunger means I'm lacking food. So bhakti, even though it increases, there's a sense of lacking. And that sense of lacking creates a tremendous humility in the heart and a tremendous lamentation that I'm so fallen. So this is what happens to Lord Chaitanya. He chants the first verse, which describes the glories of the holy name. And then it says, lamentation and humility awoke within Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he began reciting another of his own verses. By hearing the meaning of that verse, one cannot forget all unhappiness and lamentation. So this is the nature of bhakti. As you advance, your heart becomes more clear. It's nuts. And the lamentation is not just a product of, some kind of abuse or neglect or failure in this life. It's coming from the nature of the soul. And the clarity of the consciousness and that feeling of what bhakti is and what the holy name is and what I've been given and what level I'm at. And there's a deep, deep lamentation that awakens in the heart. And then this next verse comes, the second verse, which will explain that. He begins to reflect on the glories of the holy name, and then he begins to lament. I just want to just say what those glories are very briefly. Remember the first verse? People, I get inspirations to write an article every week And I have an inspiration now to write called the Kirtan Sutras and show how the Shikshastakam is really in codified form the glories of the holy name, and especially the first verse. Because it says, now this is what Lord Chaitanya is feeling and what invokes the second verse. What is he feeling? Param Vijayate, that this is Vijayate, the most glorious thing. Sri Krishna Sankirtan, this chanting with others, with instruments, loudly, which invokes the greatest absorption. Sri Krishna, and not just Sankirtan, but in this incredible mood of love, not just entertainment kirtan. Not that I'm up there as God's gift to the world. But Trinada Pi Sinichena, like a blade of grass, like a lawn, right? Is an effect that's very beautiful. If you have a very beautiful lawn, it's a very beautiful effect. But no grass says, look at me. So in the same way, when there's kirtan and there's madanga players, they may be expert, they may be singers, they may be a great singer, but no one says, look at me. Because everyone has that love in their hearts. It's look at Krishna. And they're so focused on that. Look at Krishna. They're so focused on that. And it creates what's called Prem Kirtan. And Prem Kirtan is kirtan that comes from the heart of love. Kirtan that comes from that devotion. Our good friend Satya Hari, fortunately it's a little too far to get out here by train or subway for him, but he wrote an article on kirtan, and he gave, because he's in a Sikh tradition, their definition of kirtan is when the bhava, the devotion in the heart, is expressed through the discipline of music. So that's sankirtan, when it's coming from love, and when that love is enhanced by the shared experience of it, which helps you to transcend the your ego even more. Because when you share an experience in a humble way, when you experience something as with one mind, when you're in a good kirtan, what you're feeling is everyone is experiencing the same thing. And if you're not experiencing the same thing, a qualified kirtanier will know that. There's a story with Jamuna, my god sister. If you get a copy of her biography, I'm reading it now. You have a copy of that? It's just deep. And there's one story she told where she was in Mayapur and Vrindavan. And she would have kirtans, but she didn't want to have kirtans with just so many people. She invited some close friends to come and do kirtan with her. And if you saw, I used to go, and she was a little ill. She would sit back, and she would have some wampers just to keep some beat. She wouldn't be the singer. And she would want a very, very meditative kirtan. And she would relish it. And one day someone just showed up the door that wasn't invited. And she was kind of heavy with the person. You know, who are you? You know, why? You know. And then people said, no, let her in. Okay, so she came in and then asked her. They asked her why. You know, because she wasn't coming in here to serve the kirtan. She was coming in here for herself. Something like that. The person's attitude. Lord Chaitanya, the same thing. He was doing kirtan in Srivasangam every night with his associates, opening their heart. And one day he said, well, I don't know what's going on. I don't know. I'm feeling something. You know, I don't know what's going on. I'm having this feeling. Someone must be here that's not in the right mood. Someone must be here. They said, no. It's just our group. It's just our group. I said, no. Someone must be here. No. Is there anyone new? He said, well, it's just one brahmachari. And he's so advanced, all he eats is milk. All he takes is milk. And Lord Chaitanya said, if that was the qualification for praying bhakti, every mother would be at the highest level of ecstasy. And every little child would be at the highest level of Krishna consciousness. And he was an impersonalist. It's a theory of rasa. So without getting into the details, even when Lakshmi knows this, when you give a class, right, you have to feel that everyone's hearing the same thing. It goes beyond the intellectual experience. It's a transcendent experience. You know, it helps you overcome the limited ego, the limited I, when you share an experience. And when you're doing kirtan and you have that sense of community, it enables you to experience love more because you're more out of the center. You're more out of, I always say this, that the hardest class to give in the world is an ISKCON Sunday feast lecture. Because, you know, you're giving the lecture, right? And there's these new people that are sitting there, right? And then there's the high demanding Prabhupada Nugas sitting on the side, you know, who've heard it, you know, for 40 years, you're not the body. You know, and a mixture of all varieties of cultures. And you got the Hare Krishna Hillary supporters, the Hare Krishna Trump supporters, you know, you mix it all in. And then just as you've worked so hard to kind of get a commonality of mind, someone walks in with his grandmother in the middle of the class. So Sankirtan, and not only Sankirtan, but Krishna Kirtan, chanting the names of God's manifestation in his fullest love. And then he mentions all the glories, Chaito Darpana, the heart becomes cleansed, Bhava Mahadavagni, the forest fire of material existence. Why the forest fire? Because it's forest fire starts by itself and it ends by something else. It can only end by the mercy of a rain cloud. So same thing with material existence, the holy name, that forest fire of material existence, it can extinguish it. Shreya Kairava Chandrikaranam, and it goes on higher and higher. What is the faith of the holy name that the heart is like a lotus and it blossoms from the rays of a moon. The moon is the holy name. The heart, like a white lotus, pure, it auspicious. What's the auspiciousness? Devotion. Vidyavadu Jivanam. And it's the life of all knowledge. And what's the highest knowledge? It's knowledge of God and knowledge of yourself. And that awakens. Your own sarup awakens. Prati purnamritas varnam, and then you're relishing at every step. You're relishing the holy name at every step. That's prema. Bhava. You're just relishing, and then you become bay. So Lord Chaitanya hears this. The glories of the holy name. And what happens? Lamentation and humility awaken in his heart. Oh, I'm just not a devotee. And it's natural. When you have prema, the heart's so cleansed, the desire is so strong that humility awakens in the heart. And anyone, you know, practicing Krishna consciousness, it should happen that somehow or other, it's coming. The more you start to taste something, the more you realize what you were lacking. The more you regret how you were chanting. The more you understand how far you are from the goal. But when you chant inattentively and casually and whatever, then the tendency will be is, I'm really advanced. Because you can't see yourself. And that's the nature of the false ego. If you only see your false ego, there's some illusion there. So now we'll go over this verse. Nam nam akari bahuda. He says, I'll just get the... He says, I have hundreds and millions of names. I have so many names. Why does God have so many names? It says it actually in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. After Lord Chaitanya explains why. Why does God have so many names? Who can say? Priya? He has a limited pastimes. That's a good answer. Yes, there's another reason. That's a very good answer. Yes?
Because he's everything.
He's everything? Very good. These kids are like, they're so bright and like... Very good. Anybody else that's over 10? He has unlimited qualities, yes. There's another reason that's given by Chaitanya Charitamrita, by Lord Chaitanya. What? You're not allowed to, because you've been to the class before. It's for the people who... okay, Gail, what... Oh, now you're playing hard to get. okay. Well, here's the reason. What? Yeah, it says, I'll read what it says here, because people vary in their desires. God is merciful. He wants us to become absorbed in his name. And where different people have different attractions. Even in a person, you know, let's say a friend is a guru and he has a nickname, right? But then maybe for a young disciple, he wouldn't call him that nickname. Or for example, the parent, yeah, like my mother will call me, right? She doesn't say Guru Dave. she says, Dennis! Dennis! So people, there's different names. And God has many names because different people have different relationships with God. Recently, anyway, someone called me and they were having problems chanting, and I knew them in one way, so I recommended one thing, and they said, you know, lately... So I was giving them some verses that they can chant about Krishna and things. And I said, you can do this before you chant. And then they told me that they, you know, wow, they went through this transformation and they were having struggles in their spiritual life and they were listening. They were listening to these prayers. You know, very Aishwarya, God's opulence. They were listening to God's opulence. And so they were attracted more to that. I gave them different prayers to chant than what I thought that would help them get the mood and absorption. You know, they wanted more like kind of the Purusha Shukta. Om Param 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 Param. you know, rather than Radha Krishna Pranamora Yugalakishora Jivane Mara. A different mood. So God has, first of all, he has primary names and secondary names. Some people are, you know, some people are more inclined to address someone in a particular position. Where's Sasha? So you can stay for the class. Your wife is going to leave. She's relishing the class. We can't have her leave. And it's so rare for a mother to be able to come to a class. What? So we have to. So it's just like you can address, you may have a relationship with someone and like to address them by a position. Right? So the name, you know, Your Honor is your relationship. Mr. President is your relationship. And others is something more intimate. So God has positional names, which people like. Like Allah is a positional name, and people are attracted to that. And another would be personal names. And there are primary names that indicate the intimacy of God, his pastimes, like you mentioned, Priya. He has his pastimes. So there are different names. And then, and we have different tastes. And one of the secrets of chanting, this actually, when Lord Chaitanya, there was such a nice story of Lord Chaitanya, that Lord Chaitanya was, he was a very beautiful man. And there's a problem. He was a sannyasi. And he was young. And he was very handsome. So the other sannyasis were very concerned for him, because not only that, but he was the emotional type. You can be young and handsome, but you should be kind of like the mean type. You know? Sometimes in Vrindavan, I'd see Mayavadi sannyasis walking, like, but real ones, not just the ones that just line up and beg for food, but, you know. And it was like so dry, you couldn't imagine. It's so dry. So, so Lord Chaitanya, you know, he was visiting some disciples in Varanasi, which is the seat of kind of impersonalism. And they said, you know, please represent us with all these sannyasis. So he goes, but he's so humble. He sits at the place where they're washing their shoes. And then the leader sees him, and he's very attractive. And the leader, called Prakasananda Saraswati, comes over and says, you know, I'm worried about you. You're young, you're handsome, and you're so sentimental. Because Lord Chaitanya was like crying, you know, immediately, always crying. And you figure, okay, if the sannyasi is sentimental, then, you know, if he's on the platform of the heart and he's young, what other sentiments is he going to, if he doesn't stay on the platform of Bodhi, what other sentiments are going to come? For beautiful women who are attracted to him. So they were worried. And he said, you know, my guru, I was worried myself. I was just crying and laughing and dancing and wildly. I was worried. I went to my guru. And my guru said, no, this is the highest thing. That you want to see the lotus feet of Krishna, this chanting and dancing is the highest thing. And I'll tell you a verse that's the essence of the Bhagavatam. The essence of the Bhagavatam? The essence of the Bhagavatam? So Lord Chaitanya was waiting. And then he quoted this verse, which Gail knows by heart because she's come to these classes many times, but she's on strike. Okay. Evam vratasva priya nama kritya jatanu raga. It means, In this way, without any inhibition, without any attachment, this is the essence of the Bhagavatam, chant Swapriyanam, the names of your beloved Lord. The names of your beloved Lord. The God whom you have a relationship with. So, therefore, Namnamakari Bahuda, God has unlimited names. And then, Nija Sarva Shaktis. Nija Sarva Shaktis means what? It means they have Nija, they have all Shakti. So what does that mean? It means that it's not different than Krishna. Because that's what Krishna means. Krishna is Shaktiman. God is the possessor of all Shakti. So the names are non-different than Krishna. They have all Shakti. Anybody know a verse that says that the names of Krishna are non-different than Krishna? Okay, we're going to say it slowly. Nama Chintamani Krishna. Okay, we'll say that. Nama Chintamani Krishna. It means Krishna's name is like a touchstone. Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. And it's the Vigraha, a form of all life of love. Nama Chintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, Shuddha Purno, it's complete and it's pure, Nitya Mukta, it's eternally liberating, Binatvam Nama Namano, and there's no difference than the name and the name. There's no difference than the object and the name of that object in relationship to God. And this is one of the reasons why it's so powerful to chant Hare Krishna, because it is God. So the vibration is direct communion with God. Of course, there's reasons why we don't experience that. And the example is given, sugar is sweet, but when you have jaundice, you can't taste the sweetness, but it's not that the object is not sweet. It's your tongue is covered with disease. So we're covered with ignorance. It compromises the ability for us to experience the name, even though the name is so powerful. But we have the example that clouds don't cover the sun, but they cover our perception of the sun. And faith, when faith. Is the opening in the clouds of our ignorance to experience the name. We're covered by ignorance. Faith, which comes by hearing, which comes by experience. Our faith is not blind. It means trust based on evidence. We believe in the holy name. But we have evidence. We have some experience, some revelation sometimes, some association with someone who has experienced it. Some way, there's a reason. And that reason why it will open. And as it opens, then what will happen? Adau Shraddha, Tata Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana. It will get more and more revelation, more and more understanding of this non-difference. And that's how we advance by the potency, the bhakti shakti of the object of the name, awakening love in our hearts. And don't be impatient. Hey, nothing's happening. What's going on? Where is my prema? You know, I like this story where Bhakti Prabhupada's godbrother, Bhakti Rakshika Sridhamar, tells the story. And he tells the story, and the two brahmacharis of disciples of Bhakti Siddhanta raised their hand. 10 years, I'm not feeling anything. He says, good. And he leaves. And then he analyzes. Why does he say good? He analyzes. Well, Sridhar Mahārāja said, well, he said good because your humility is the foundation of actually experiencing that. So better than that, then Radhe Radhe, Radhe Radhe. I'm already, you know, at Radhakund. I remember one time this Russian group came. They were brought, and I was in Govardhan, I was chanting, I was in my Namvrata, and they came to see me, and I gave them instructions how to go around Govardhan Hill. And, you know, they all had their high heels and their painted toenails. They, you know, and they somehow walked around. You know, and then it was Govardhan Puja. This is how Jai Shri Radhe became a devotee. Same group, different year. Next year you came. And then they were going, and then they said, we'd like to come back and see you. And then one girl, her eyes like lit up. They don't know anything about Krishna consciousness. They went, I want to go to Radhakund. Can you take us to Radhakund? Better? I've been here for 10 years and nothing. So it's non-different. It's non-different. How wonderful. And there's two stories that I heard about this non-difference that are really nice. One is the story of Lord Brahma. He's going to offer a benediction. He wants a race of all the demigods. And who can cover the universe, circumambulate the universe three times, they get this incredible benediction. They get his post or something. Or they get some, I forgot what the benediction is. So everyone was gearing up. And, you know, the demigods generally have, you know, Indra has Aravata elephant, and, you know, Indra has the swan carry. They all have. And then Ganesh, he's like really depressed because his carrier is like a little rat. And he's a fat elephant. So he's going like this. This is like, I'm devastated. How am I going to like win this race? And he kind of breaks down. And then Narada Muni comes and he says, I got this real problem. I want to be in this race. I'd like to win this race. But I'm so overweight, and I got this little carrier, you know. And then he tells them that, you know, what you can do is, I'll tell you the secret. Write Krishna's name in the sand and take your little rat and go around three times. Okay? So they went and they all come back. And the Brahma, you know, takes out, you know, they have a little envelope, you know, saying, you know, and the winner is Ganesh and his rat. And everyone was just like, what is going on? How can it be Gajendra and his rat? Well, he said, well, the name is not different than God, and God is inclusive of everything, including the universe. So Ganesh wins. Then the other story I heard about this, and it's really nice. It's about the lamentation of Sri Radha. Because she thinks that, you know, she's really guilty because she grew up as a chaste girl. And although she's married, she's attracted to three other men. And what are the three men? Well, the first one is she heard this flute. And she heard this flute and she said, oh my God, you know, that whoever sung that, I'm in love. And then she saw a painting of Krishna and she said, my God, I mean, I've never seen someone so handsome as that. I'm in love. And then she heard some people doing kirtan, and she said, that name, woo! That name, I'm so attracted to this person. And she said, I don't want to make Radha into like a neurotic Jewish, but I will. Okay, ready? I could have killed myself. I could have killed myself. So, because the name is non-different than Krishna. The name is non-different than Krishna. So you see, what's happening is Lord Chaitanya is meditating on this. Look what I've got. Look what I've been given. Look what I've been given. And then tatarpita niyamata, niyama means rule, smarane nakala, to chant or remember him, nakala. There's no rules. There's no fast rules. Anyone can chant the holy name in any condition. And he's thinking, this is so merciful because generally the practice is when you undergo some spiritual practice, there is a qualification, even in bhakti. Because if you do deity worship, you may have to be Brahmin initiated. And then when you do it, what's that thing called? I forgot. Where you have to invoke your spiritual body? I forgot it. It's the first part of deity worship. I forgot the technical name. But you can't worship Krishna in your material body. So you have to say, Naham Vipo, Chanada Patir, Vaishno Nasudra, I'm not this, I'm not this, I'm not this, I'm not this. You at least have to attempt to transcend the body to be qualified to worship Krishna. Because we can worship Guru first, which is another identity. I'm not the body, I'm the servant of Guru and Krishna. So you need, even in bhakti, but the name is there's no and hard fast rule. I should mention something. There's no difference, but there's also a difference. I might forget that. There's also a difference. And what is the difference? The name is more merciful. Why? Because if the form of Krishna, the deity, you have to go to the deity. But the name will come to you. And there's so many verses and things like that that explain that the name is more merciful. And this is from, the Vishnu Dharmotra. There are no hard and fast rules as to where the name is to be chanted. It can be chanted in any contaminated place by any contaminated person. There is no restriction in time, place, circumstance, or purity. In all circumstances, holy name fulfills all desires. Okay, I'm back to there's no hard and fast rules. And Skanda Purana, I offer my obeisance again and again to those who chant the holy name, even while sleeping, eating, waking up, or rising up. There's no hard and fast rules. So Lord Chaitanya is thinking how merciful this is. There's no hard and fast rules. How merciful this is. No hard and fast rules. And then, of course, there's that story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that's so sweet, that Lord Chaitanya is going to the bathroom. And then in those days, you go out to the fields and you take a lota fill of water. That's like the most sanitary way because it's out, everything becomes purified. You don't go into a small room like that. So he goes out into the fields. And as he's going out in the fields, because he's got that name embedded in his heart, he's chanting, so he's holding his tongue. Because he doesn't want to bring the name, which is non-different from Krishna, you know, at that point where he's going to go to the bathroom and everything like that. And then one young boy, he's only like 4 years old, he said, what are you doing? He said, well, I don't want to chant. He said, well, what if you die? You're not going to chant the holy name in that condition? And Lord Chaitanya said, actually, the holy name is there's no hard, fast rules. There's no time, circumstance. And he looked at the boy, he said, well, that's really profound. He said, you're Guru. And from that day on, the boy became known as Gopal Guru. And he became one of the main acharyas in our line, especially for Raghunuga Bhakti. And he was in charge of the Radhakant temple in the house of Kashi Mishra, where the Gambira is, where Lord Chaitanya was for the end of his life. So this was like really amazing. So there's no unfit. And then, now what's happening is, those are the glories, now the lamentation. And what's the lamentation? Tava Kripa Bhagavan Mamapi. You are so merciful. You are so merciful. Tava Kripa Bhagavan Mamapi. But you are so merciful. Because you're still giving us this name. There's so much, this is such a high thing, and there's no qualifications, and you're merciful, and it's non-different than you, and it's non-different than God, but Tava Kripa Bhagavan Mamapi, you are so merciful. You are so merciful that you're allowing us to easily approach you. You're so, Tava Kripa, you're allowing us to easily approach you. But, Durdaivam. Daivam means destiny. Durdaivam, bad destiny. I'm so unfortunate. Why am I unfortunate? You're so merciful. You give such access, but Durdaivam Idrisan Ihajani Nanuraga Ihajani, Jani is like Janma, from me is born Nanuraga, no raga, no attraction. I'm so unfortunate. I have no attraction. And this is the secret to bhajan or spiritual practice. It's going to be stated in the next verse, because what happens is, the more you appreciate something and the less qualified you feel to attain it, the more mercy you'll feel from that. Right? You know, you want to buy a new car and you go in. And okay, and you want to get a BMW, and they say, okay, how much is it? $70,000. I can't pay that. That's like, I mean, or if they give it to you, it's not mercy, right? It's like he gave you the price. You say, can you make it a little bit lower? He said, all right. Hey, you look at a nice guy, $10. You go, wow, how kind that person. What will you feel for that person? You'll feel some love. When you feel love from, and love from above is mercy, when you feel love from, then you feel love for. And this is the secret. The secret is to understand the glories and then feel our lack of qualification, our lack of attraction, and put that mood into the chanting. And put that mood into the chanting. So Lord Chaitanya is teaching us. And that's bhakti. Bhakti is the process where your bad qualities you use to your advantage by making you humble. Janine, you look so excited. What? Yeah, you use, and there's a verse in the Bhakti Sandarbha. There's a verse in the Bhakti Sandarbha where it says, devotion in the form of kirtan is unlimitedly merciful to those who are devoid of a sense of prestige. And therefore, people like to come to Kali Yuga. Because with the right mentality, you can become humble. Because you, in Satya Yuga, they could have done kirtan. Why didn't they chant the holy? Why wasn't that the Yuga Dharma in Satya Yuga? I heard one scholar talk about this. He said because they wanted something more difficult because they were so qualified. So they had to have a meditational process. It's just like if someone was like a great, you know, marathon runner. You know, they want a challenge. They want the Iron Man. They, you know, someone say, okay, you can get a award. Just run around the block. they wouldn't give them. So in the Kali Yuga, there's that qualification is our bad qualities. And a lot of the acharyas, this word durdaivam, bad destiny. What is the bad destiny? What is the misfortune? It's anarthas. I have things in my heart that are preventing me from experiencing God. And especially, what are they? Offenses. I don't know where I read it, but I heard it once, and it sounds good. Bhakti is easy. Avoiding offenses is what's difficult. Avoiding the offenses is what's difficult. So, we just finish up here with just a little brief, the 10 offenses. Sadhu Ninda to criticize the devotee. This is the one where we really get stuck. Because some people just drive us crazy. But then we realize we also drive others crazy. And it's called the mad elephant offense. Priya, why is it called the mad elephant offense?
Because like an elephant could take a bath in the water after it's all dirty and then gets out and does the same thing again.
You gave a very good elephant analogy from your knowledge of Shastra, but it's not this is a different one. The different one is because you can make a garden and you can protect it with a fence, except when a mad elephant comes. So you can be so careful trying to protect your bhakti, but the criticizing devotees is like a mad elephant. And the thing about this is that even if the criticism is justified, you have to be careful. And it's very, very subtle. And there's the story, one story, how subtle it is, which is described, how subtle it is the subtlety of it is the famous story of Rupa Goswami. He's in a very inner worship. And he's thinking of Krishna's pastime. Then something very funny happens and he laughs. And a sadhu who's crippled walks by. Like there's one sadhu called Astavakra. Again, eight vakra means bent. He was bent in eight places. So he was kind of walking funny and he laughed and he was a little sensitive. So he became upset. All of a sudden, Rupa Goswami's bhajan, his worship, stopped. And he couldn't enter into the worship again. And he went to his guru, Sanat, and he said, what happened? He must have offended someone. I don't know. Who did I offend? I don't know. He said, well, how can I find out? He said, okay, this is how you find out in Vrindavan who you offended. He said, hold the big bandha, big, big feast. See who doesn't come. And apologize to that person. So, it's subtle to think of the demigods as equal or independent. Independent, equal means Krishna is a supreme, but there are demigods. Don't think that they're the same. That's an offense. There are expansions of Krishna which are equal. They're expansions of God, but the demigods are not equal. But don't think they're independent either. They're energies of Krishna. There's expansions of Krishna also. So don't offend them. You know, I remember when I first came to India, you know, I was a Krishna Bhakta and I was new and I was just in this for a few years and I was passionate and trying to figure it out. And, you know, I walked by temples of like Ganesh and Durga like they were the enemy camp. Disrespect the guru. I heard, read one thing about this, and with Vaishnavas too, is we're more concerned with the inspired side than ordinary dealings. Ordinary dealings mean people have different personalities, different people's faults, you know, and we like, we dislike, etc. But we're more concerned with the inspired side, what comes out of their heart representing Krishna. And I had a particular realization of this when there was one, I would say, recognized great spiritual leader in Vrindavan, but it was in conflict. Somehow or other, there was some conflict and there became a little bit of a war with this guy. There's a little criticism back and forth, right? And it was under, these things happen, you know? If you criticize a guru, then protect the faith of his disciples, then he has to criticize you. And so anyway, it was something that happened. It's like, whatever. But when he passed away in the Krishna Balaram Mandir, we had a function for those people that were close with him, including he had some initiated disciples that were in positions of power, of service. So we had a function. Not many people came, about 20 or 30. And Borijan was there, myself, Prabodhananda Saraswati, one Indian sannyasi, a few other, Mother Vishaka Priya, different people connected with him there, they went. And when I spoke, and I said, you know, I knew there was a, you know, there's a conflict, and some people like, some people don't, but I'm not going to speak, but I'm going to speak about the inspired side, which I knew from knowing him, the inspired side. How Krishna Bhakti came out of his heart, how so many instructions came out of his heart, how he inspired so many people. Otherwise, we'll see through our own lens of good and bad, etc. Of course, there are limits to what ordinary dealings are, I mean. But just the ordinary, more this, avoiding that kind of offense is important. To blasphemy the scriptures. And that means the scriptures of Jnana and Karma. Because Jnana and Karma, they're only meant to help us get the bhakti. They may not be the thing we promote, but we don't just criticize those either. They're also Shastra. And to think the glories of the holy name are exaggeration. No, the holy name, a drop can give so much, flood you. We don't, or to give some interpretation, we may explain how it mechanically works. I've heard people, you know, there's some mechanical. To commit sin on the strength of chanting, what that is, you're hearing how purifying it is, and you may commit some sin thinking I'll be purified by the holy name. There's a certain subtle laxity that can come knowing that the holy name is so powerful. There's some kind of laxity can come. And when that would be, it would be using the holy name for your own sinful life. And someone said that would be like blowing your nose with the deity cloth. The deity cloth is meant to worship Krishna, not to blow your nose. The holy name is meant for the pleasure of Krishna, not to purify you of your sins. And to consider it fruit of activities, a part of karma, to advise the faithless, be careful. The holy name, the intimate holy name, if someone has a faith, you don't want to give instructions to people that will make them criticize more. And then to maintain some material attachment despite hearing the glorious holy name, I would say that there's a reasonable level of things we need, even enjoyment and material activities, etc. But when we consciously go beyond that, despite getting the holy name. So anyway, are there any questions? We have 10 more minutes. Gail.
If they're like really short answer questions, can I get three?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, one is, when you say that, you know, the holy name, the advantage of it is, you know, versus a say deity worship is that, you know, with deities, you have to go to them, the holy name will come to you.
Yeah.
Is that synonymous with saying that, you know, the holy name is accessible?
Yes. Okay, next question.
Okay. say that the holy name is like a chintamani.
Yeah.
So, chintamani, I'm not sure if that just means like, you know, whatever you want, it'll give you. So, but, you know, for devotees only want Krishna's pleasure. So, whatever chintamani would mean that the holy name will facilitate in whatever way you want to serve Krishna.
Well, the whole story of Dhruva Maharaj, when Dhruva Maharaj went and he had material desires, his mother and his guru told him to approach Krishna. So yes, the holy name can even fulfill one's material desires. If it's Tivrena Bhakti Yogena, if you really, really practice and take shelter of God, then even your material desires can be fulfilled. But you have to really practice. You really have to take to it, you know. And focus, like if you're chanting, then you have to really focus and really chant and focus your mind and take shelter of God. And then, yes, even material desires can be fulfilled, but the Shastras say, for that foolish person, I will fulfill their material desires. But that's all they'll get. So you have to be careful also. But yes, it can also fulfill material desires. To answer your other question before you ask it, okay? That it's complex because Krishna has to see the sincerity of one's heart, and he can do many things. He can fulfill the material desires in a way that you no longer attracted to them. You know, he can fulfill the material desires. He can give you so much love in your heart that you won't care about those material desires anymore. He can also give you what you want. But he also sees the devotee, because when you surrender to Krishna, he does what's best. So he can give anything, but whether he does all the time is another thing. But he can. And if you have a material desire, they're better to approach Krishna.
Okay, this is just 2A. Okay,
2A. Okay, 2A.
Okay. So, because from other classes too, I've been wanting to ask this.
To
differentiate between those three things.
Yeah.
You say Krishna can, you know, give you what you want in a way so that you won't even want it anymore.
Yeah.
Right? Just like he did with Dhruva.
With Dhruva, he got the planet. What's this? Now I got it. Big deal.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So another way is it's fuzzy for me. Another way is that he'll give it to you, but you won't care about it anymore. That sounds like the first one.
Yeah, it's like the first one.
So there's really just two. So you'll.
No, he can give you. He can give you the object, and you can become frustrated by the object.
Oh, frustrated by it.
You get, and then he can put love in your heart where you don't care for the object.
Uh-huh.
So you can do it in different ways. And you know, she always gets me on the things I make up. I never read this anyplace. It's not like you got it.
You don't care, and the third thing is
he can just give you the thing. He can, and you'll like it, and you'll want it.
Okay, last one.
Yes.
This, you know,
Gopin, you need to offer, or it's offered already.
It's getting offered.
Okay, yeah.
You know,
you alluded to this catharsis that the speaker can experience, you know, when everybody's on the same page.
Yeah. Yes.
That's just a miserable thing, right?
When you teach or you enter or you do kirtan or something, and especially me, when I teach, I realize when there's one mind. I realize when everyone is like really understanding what I'm saying, and they're basically understanding the same thing. And you do realize also when it's not, when there's the. That's why the beginning of the lecture, I like to be the most concentrated. I don't like to be disturbed at the beginning, because you have to create that at the beginning. And, you know, that's why, you know, I wouldn't be disturbed if children were here if they gave me 10 minutes to get into the lecture and get everybody on the same page. You know, but if it's a very beginning and they're crawling in front and things like that, that may be a little bit more difficult. Because at the beginning, the speaker really has to do that. And that's why, you know, whenever I lecture, I concentrate on that first. I really concentrate. I just don't get into the lecture and just start to, you know, speak, you know, the shastra and the points, etc. I always start with trying, as they say, warm up the audience. A lot of times, and get them on that same page. Sometimes by just asking a question. So they're all thinking, you know, they're all in the same thing. We're inquiring. Or a lot of times a story just telling about the principle I'm going to speak in relationship to myself. You know, tell a story about myself. You know, one day that this was, you know, I had this, just to create that, yeah.
It sounds so miserable though to get that, have that realization.
You definitely have that realization. Anyone who's doing kirtan, you can ask Lakshmi, you feel it. You know when the audience is a group. You know when it's Trinadapi, where everyone is just contributing to the thing. You know, and you know when someone can disturb that too. Especially when you're doing kirtan with people and you have like a drummer that's completely egotistical, or, you know, you can feel it, yeah.
Yeah, I'm the drummer.
Well, that's why it's good, because you have that good mood. I never saw you go like this. Okay, any other questions? Yes.
So, I really love this verse. And
you like the what?
I really love this verse. And the end of it is like sort of, it's kind of like paradoxical to the whole Shikshastakam. Especially like later on when you like are hearing of this like passionate, like emotional attachment. And especially like knowing that Chaitanya is like essentially non-different from the Lord, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a very paradoxical thing, like especially also knowing Chaitanya to be like the ultimate devotee of the Lord.
Yeah.
To think that he has like no taste for this.
Right. Attitude. Right, yeah. Well, one, Lord Chaitanya is acharya, he's a teacher, so he's also teaching the different levels of devotion. But more than that, there is a paradox in bhakti. And the there's so many paradoxes in bhakti. For example, the highest pleasure is separation, which is also the greatest pain. You know, the only example that someone gave me is when you have dry ice from the Good Humor truck and you take it out and you're a little kid and you compress it to someone, even though it's cold, it'll burn them, right? So it's cold and it burns. So there's a paradox in there. Dry ice burns, but it's cold. So there's a paradox. So there is that paradox, and there's a paradox in love. Because the more you have, the less you seem to have it. It's almost a paradox that someone who's very clean will see his room as more dirty than someone who's a slob. Right? Someone who just throws things at, you know, and, you know, your mother comes in and cleans up the room, and then all of a sudden she lost things because you had everything in place. You know, everything's like, you got that, Gail, from them?
Oh my God, but my
From who? Uh-oh, Joseph. Yeah, it's like that. Yeah, I know where everything is. Now someone cleans it up and it's there for. So there are these kind of paradoxes with purity, that the more pure one is, the more clearly they see their weaknesses. You know, that clean glass of water, you know, a spot becomes very apparent. When it's already cloudy, something can enter and you won't see it. So there is. And it is bhakti. It's explained. This is love. It's somehow or other, this is the practice of devotion. You know, through the whole Sikshastakam, as he advances, the humility and the lamentation just increases more and more and more. And then the last verse, Ashlishyava Padaratam Padastumam, you may make me brokenhearted by not appearing before me. You may crush me by your embrace. Okay, in the back there, and then Kishori. Yeah.
So are those paradoxes just part of this existence? When we go beyond this, they no longer exist?
The paradox, not everything's a paradox, right? Not everything's a paradox, but there are paradoxes.
Are there certain limitations that we just have these limitations within this form that will eventually go beyond?
No, but he has no limit. What he's saying, he has no limitations. He's God as his devotee. So it's more the state of love, the emotional state of love, that it creates a hankering that makes you feel you don't have it. Okay, thank you. Yeah.
This might have been discussed in the first verse,
yeah.
When was this spoken? Were they spoken all at the same time, the eight verses?
There's two different. Rupa Goswami, he just listed them in the Padyavali, his anthology of poems. It wasn't an asticum. Mm-hmm.
Like you mentioned.
But Krishnadas Kaviraj put them as an asticum. He put them as eight verses. No, well, he's saying that they were spoken at once.
And where?
In the Gambira.
In Puri.
They're spoken in Puri at the end of his, you know, this is his realization. So he puts them as the Shikshastika prayers. He puts them, you know, that this happened at a particular time. But you see, whether they happened at a particular time or not, it's not the main point. In fact, in Shastra, a lot of times, chronology is not the same. That's why if you do a historical analysis of the Bhagavatam and the kings and what year, you know, the timings may seem different because the objective is not history. So they're not focused on history. And history is based on chronology. They're not. They don't care about history. Oh, it may happen 200 years ago. It may be 500 years ago. But what is the point of it? So the Shikshastakam, Krishnadas Kaviraj presents them as their anasticum. They're one thing. But it doesn't appear that in Lord Chaitanya's life it happened that way. It appears at different times he had realizations of these verses. And perhaps at the end he chanted them at once. Okay.
One question I have is just we hear a lot, like you mentioned, how as we move forward in spiritual life, we actually get more of a sense that we're lacking. So just kind of simply put, is there any way that we could tell or endeavor to tell, you know, whether our lack is actually a healthy one or whether we're just lacking, you know, whether we're just not. You know, like to feel like, oh, I'm not a devotee. I'm just not a devotee.
Well, yeah, I think there is. Yeah. It's just like Prabhupada, right? He's an Uttamadhikari. He has to come down to Madhyam to preach. So he makes distinctions, right? But on the platform of Uttam, He sees things through his own bhav or his feelings. So sometimes Prabhupada was like that. He saw that as you are, he saw his disciples, you are my spiritual masters because you've been sent from Bhakti Siddhanta. So I think there's a healthy platform that one can negotiate between the head and the heart. That you can be feeling things, but intellectually also know. Like you can have a feeling that everyone's serving Krishna better than me, but at the same time make a distinction that this person needs mudjam distinction. You can make an intellectual distinction. You don't have to look at it from the heart. For the purpose of preaching or the purpose of teaching, you can make a distinction. Also in your own spiritual life, there's those stages that you're supposed to apply to yourself. So what I would say is that there's an intellectual platform, a way of seeing things, and there's a platform from the emotions that you look at things. But when push comes to shove, you can make the distinction, right? Hey, wow, I really am lacking. I really don't have nothing. Or that, wow, you know, I'm advancing a little bit and I'm feeling these sentiments. It seems simultaneously. You'll think like, wow. But then you'll lament, you know, I don't really have anything. But at the same time, wow, finally I'm feeling that after, you know, living for 40 years thinking I'm God's gift to the world. Lakshmi?
Yeah, this is a conversation that I've had many times with different people. I just wanted to hear your take on it. Because you had said that if you chant with motivate, you know, you want something for it,
yeah,
then that's what you'll get as a result of your chanting.
Yeah.
And people have asked me about kirtan for money, you know, like, you
know, yeah,
people who charge kirtan. And
yeah,
it's just not. There's also Gaudiya Vaishnavas that do that also.
Yeah.
And so people have asked me, well, what do you think about that? And I said, well, I know definitely they get the payment. They get what they ask for. And it's like if it's 500 for a kirtan or 3,000 for a kirtan, they definitely get that. And what's your take on that?
On whether we should charge, basically.
Yeah, or you know, there are people that are obviously sincere but charge kirtan. And when I've asked them, they say, "Well, I'm a grihastha; I have to live. I don't charge for a kirtan. I just
right
don't like the Prabhupada."
Right. Yeah. I mean. Yeah. I mean. Yeah. I mean. I never, when someone says, "Well, how much do you charge for class, you know, what do you give?" I never say whatever they. That's the Brahminical platform also. Brahmins means they have complete faith in Krishna. You know, and they won't charge. But I guess even among devotees, there's different vanas and different levels of faith in terms of livelihood. And especially in the modern world, even for Brahmins, where this culture is not there, it becomes a little difficult. And then someone may make the decision in a very sincere way. They may make the decision in a very sincere way and they have to live with it. They have to be humble about it. They may make the decision that that, you know, if I don't maintain my family, I'm just going to be working. But I have this ability and I can really help spread Krishna consciousness. And then, you know, be very, very careful how you do it. You know what I'm saying? And be very careful about getting into the money conscious and being upset if not enough money was given or haggling over the thing or, you know, be in a detached way then. You know, these are my expenses, you could say. Because, you know, a lot of times they fly Madhava out and things like that. You know, you can say, okay, these are my expenses. You know, while I'm here doing this, my family's back there, I'm not working, so I need that. You know, you can try to adjust in a way. But what we see what's happening sometimes, not with everyone, it enters in. You know what I'm saying? And that consciousness enters in. And I guess we just look at the positive, you know, glory to those people who can have that brahminical faith, you know, that Krishna will maintain me. But it's very heavy, I guess, when you have kids and families and so many things to do. Yeah. What's your take?
Well, I mean, I can only speak for myself, and it's like, Prabhupada has indicated so many times, professional Bhagavatam speaker.
Yeah.
And I found in numbers of cases that if I had charged a fee, I would have shortchanged myself, because people give more, you know, when they sense that you're giving and you're not giving for a price, then they want to reciprocate. It's somehow or another Krishna makes that divine interaction. I'll give you, for example, when I lived in North Carolina, we were asked to cater for Baba Ramdas. He was doing a lecture, and they, you know, the Hare Krishnas always have this food thing, so they always ask the Hare Krishnas. And so they said you could charge whatever you want to charge, and I was thinking, you know, then my mind started going, how much the ingredients, how much time? And then I thought to myself, you know what? Just do it and say to the people, whatever you want to give us a donation. And I did, and we made so much money as a result. I mean, some people gave like $40 for a plate of prasadam, and most people gave at least $10. And, you know,
it's true.
If I calculated $15 a plate would have been a fair price, probably would have shortchanged me. And it was like a classic example.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, I didn't know this when I first came to New Jersey and started giving seminars in the yoga studios, but there is a standard hourly fee.
It is.
And I almost always get that.
Yeah.
I never asked for it. I just said, give me a donation.
Yeah, we had, you know, when I do these bhakti retreats, at least the ones that I'm completely in control of in South America, we don't charge. I mean, people pay the ashram for money, but we don't charge, and I have something written up, which the Bhakti Center now uses. They got it from me. That I wrote up something about, you know, this is a bhakti retreat, and everything's given out of love. You know, we don't do it for money. Then I said, well, how do teachers maintain themselves? The students reciprocate. And then I guess we asked, you know, suggested donation. And from that, I remember the first retreat, you know, two people gave $500, one gave $400, one gave $300. Someone from Puerto Rico had a little bit less money, they each gave $100. Yeah, so that works. I guess it's just when, and I, you know, if someone really feels that this has to be my career, not just something I do on the side, it's very heavy decisions, whether they have to work in the world or do that. But I think you can't err on the side of purity. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, someone can even do that and say whatever you give and then just go out there. But then you have to be a Brahmin. Yeah, because Brahmin means you live simply with whatever you give. And that's the, you know, yoga, santosh. It's, you know, it means enough. Whatever you get, it's enough. And if you're not a Brahmin, then maybe you shouldn't do those activities. Okay. We'll end for now, okay? Well, so nice crowd we got here, so inspiring. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.